Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
Hey. So John Elway says we got to fight for our lives. He goes on the state-sponsored media outlet and says we got to fight for our lives. Vance Joseph earlier today goes, yeah, well, okay, sure. We got to fight for our lives. I liked what VJ said because he goes, I don't need more motivation. I'm motivated plenty. I like that answer. You know, I can't be more motivated than giving everything I've got to it each and every week like I have. Oh, now I'm motivated. Oh, now I'm going to try. I like that answer. Hey, call me an idiot. I'm sure you want to. I like the defensive game plan. It netted 23 points. Now, there's a lot of ugly numbers out there. But at the end of the line, Alfred, it's 23 points. You kept Jared Goff, who may win the MVP in the league this year, and that offense to 23 points. You had a very desperate secondary situation where Bradley Roby, so much for a consequence, he played every single defensive snap. That'll show him. They knew it. They knew it. They didn't load the box. They didn't really try to stop the run. But they were stout in the red zone. The Rams were only 2 for 5. And they forced the first 3-and-out the Rams had. And Von Miller and Bradley Chubb looked amazing. The Rams were afraid to throw the ball. You both had 11 possessions, and you came up with 20 points. You were let down by your best offensive player, Emmanuel Sanders, who had a great game. But in a game that was going to inevitably be close, you can't make unforced errors. You can't make dumb, selfish mistakes. Even in the throes of passion, somehow you have to have more balance and courage and common sense, Emmanuel. And you can't get flagged for holding, even though the guy did flop. I gotcha. Tough one. But you got that because you got a reputation of holding, Garrett Bowles. You can't give away points.
Hand placement.
Yeah. You can't give away points to a team like the Rams. And it came down to a field goal, came down just a few points. You kept the Los Angeles Rams to 23 points. That is a job freaking well done. You could have won that game, just like you could have won the Chiefs game.
We calling this Moral Victory Monday?
No, not at all.
No such thing.
Hell
man.
No. I'm calling it Tell the Truth Monday if you want me to, because I'm sick of everybody pointing out that nobody's ever run for 200 yards back-to-back games in the NFL. So what? Who cares about that? So I'm now this doesn't matter because this is the last game for Vance Joseph and crew if they lose to the Cardinals, who I looked at today, Al. I can't believe how bad this team is offensively. This is by far the worst team in the NFL offensively. And that is right up your alley with Mike McCoy. So I'm already saying it. I don't need to hear. You can say it if you want. But they are so bad. Their offensive, they got a good running back in David Johnson. And I think Josh Rosen is definitely the future for them. But don't forget, they started the season with Sam Bradford. So a lot of their numbers, Josh Rosen is like barely coming in here. They are awful offensively. If you can't beat the Arizona Cardinals.
What's the goal?
The goal is to beat the Arizona Cardinals on Thursday. We got no other goals. Okay. This is it. We've come down to it, Al. And because of the importance of this game, we're going to be on the road. We want to be there firsthand, and we're going to be broadcasting Wednesday through Friday in Arizona.
I'll let you know about that.
Oh.
I'll let you know because I was expecting a win.
Oh, what, you think you're changing your mind now?
Well, I mean, you know.
Oh, no. This is it. This is the season. You want the playoffs? You want the Super Bowl? You want it? It's this Thursday. You want the it's now
said,
or never.
Our Super Bowl is this Thursday.
Our Super Bowl is this Thursday. This team's Super Bowl is this Thursday. And the starter should be Chad Kelly. But we all know that's not going to happen, stupidly, but it's not. This team offensively is a disaster. The leadership offensively, Emmanuel Sanders should be ashamed of the situation he put his team into. And then he balled out, of course, Al, right? Because he's the best player we have. Emmanuel Sanders is the best offensive player we have. There's not even an argument to that.
He's the guy who's ready to go.
Yeah, and he screwed up. Like, of all the guys that can't afford to screw up on some sort of mental mistake, it's the best player on your team. And then his apology afterwards was so weak. It was the non-apology apology. Yeah, I guess it's all my fault, but, you know, man, it's not really my fault. Here's what he said.
It cost my team, you know. I look at the scoreboard, we lost by 3 points. I feel like we could have easily punched that ball in, and I got 4 points. So I guess this loss is on me.
I guess this loss is on me. I guess. No, it's you're part of it, dude. We needed you to be better, and you weren't. You're a great player. You are a great player. You're just so absurdly obsessed with your brand. How about Stink revealing they had practiced the freaking handshake celebration, him and DT, and they broke it out when the game was over. Did you catch that on the broadcast?
I did.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you guys got that down. The irony for Emmanuel Sanders, because he's obsessed with developing the brand of Emmanuel Sanders, and he does a lot of good things with that. He does a lot of good things with charity, which is the right thing to do. He gives it all on the field, which is the right thing to do. But the irony is, if you really wanted to be concerned the best with your brand, just, you know, be a good leader. Don't be so obsessed with being a brand. He thinks in order for him to be a brand, he's got to be flashy, he's got to have things going on, he's got to have, you know, talking about him on... He doesn't. He just has to play great, which he's more than capable of doing. It was crushing. It wasn't the only reason, but it was one of the reasons. Bradley Chubb and Von Miller, welcome back! I'm glad we got rid of the milk cartons. I mean, that was great. Defensively, the game plan... Solid, especially considering the situation the secondary was in. Both teams had 11 possessions, Alfred. Got 11 possessions at home in the NFL with the weather being a absolute non-factor, and you came up with 20 points, and you were close to getting blown the hell out. I mean, it was 22-3, but the defense nutted up. They stopped the Rams from scoring. They let up a lot of runs. Who cares? A lot of yards. But they nutted up and only allowed 3 points the rest of the way. They gave you a shot, and you blew it. You blew it. I don't really know how you... And you're going to blame the coaches on this? It's the coaches' fault? I mean, it will be if you lose to Arizona. Everybody will be fired. Elway's not going to fire himself, Alfred. So that's my little rap. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You got it, buddy. You got it.
What you got?
Well, I saw some things that happened that were breakdowns on the defensive side that caused us to allow another 200-yard rusher, and primarily it's issues that happens because of coverages that we're in that gave us, you know, that gave the Rams the option of running right down the middle of our defense for huge yardage again. And then I saw some selfish play, man. Kerr, big number 92, had a terrible game. Terrible game where it showed up that he didn't, you know, that he wasn't 100% there for some reason. He wasn't 100% there. And because of it, the backside of runs he couldn't get to, man, it just made it for a day for Todd Gurley. A day for Todd Gurley. I will say this. The red zone defense was excellent. It was excellent. But on that fourth down and inches where we came out, Todd Davis clearly was in position. He rocked and left. the guard actually blocked Kerr, and then he got up to block Todd Davis on the same play. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. And you know, give yourself another chance to line up and play red zone defense right there. Get him on the ground. Maybe it's not a stop for the fourth and inches. But if you just rock over to your responsibilities, you're going to be right there in the hole, and at least you got a chance to play defense one more down. I thought that was disappointing. Case Keenum is not giving us a chance to win. He's not giving us a chance to win, and he looks like he's gun-shy. He is not doing the things that good quarterbacks do. He's retreating in the pocket just like Trevor Siemian was doing last year, and that's never going to win for you. You don't stress the defense out by floating backwards, and you don't force the defense to make a play when you overthrow your receivers purposely by 4 yards in the red zone. I don't know what that's all about. I have no idea why he's not even giving his people a chance at the football. Like, he's throwing them away. Like, I guess I'll get three here. I just don't get that. I don't even know who this guy is right now. I mean, he's not the guy that played for the Minnesota Vikings last year.
Who would you start on Thursday?
You know what, man? I have seen enough. I've seen enough out of Case Keenum.
Me too. Yep. What's the point?
I can't believe that he's regressed as much as he has. Hurting the team. Hurting the team. Not, can the guy play the position? Yes, but he's got to go ahead and just say, man, to hell with it. If I throw an interception, I throw one, but I'm stepping in the throws, I'm making good decision, and I'm stepping up into the pocket. If I get sacked, I get sacked. Because when you retreat, you aren't giving us a great chance to make things happen. The one time that you did finally step up into the B gap, you took off and ran and gave us the first down. Man, we need that. If you're not willing to do those things, it's just you look like Trevor Siemian 2.0.
Worse.
You're floating in the pocket and
unbelievably.
And overthrowing your guys by 3-4 yards. I mean, over the head in the red zone? That last drive where we got the field goal to Hyerman. Hyerman was outside 1-on-1 with the safety. 5'10 versus 6'6. Find a way to give that guy a call where he can just get in position and at least, throw it to him where he can at least challenge for the football.
Throw it at his helmet.
I mean, not even at his helmet, D-Mac. I'm talking about throw it 2 yards over. Throw it to where the ball can get to 9 feet. Throw the ball to 9 feet. He's throwing the ball like 14 feet above the guy. I don't even understand why he's doing this. Is the guy in position? Yes, but your guy is naturally standing at like 8 inches taller than him. What are you doing? That's a computer screen taller than your opponent. What are you doing? Just give him that kind of lead. Give him that kind of lead. I don't get it. I'm trying to figure out who this guy has become, and all these numbers, when you look at them in the end, they really don't matter, because if you press there and you get a touchdown on 4th-and-3, instead of stepping up into the pocket, you stand there? Come on, man. If I'm playing offensive tackle right now for the Broncos, I don't know where this guy's going to be. There should have been a sense of comfort with this guy stepping up into the pocket, even though we're playing the Rams and they have two great defensive tackles. We should have been stepping up into the pocket, and he didn't do that. And who he's become, I don't like.
I'd start Chad Kelly on Thursday.
When Chad Kelly went in for that one play before halftime, the eruption by the crowd told you everything.
Yep. They've had it.
And I'm not telling you that,
rightfully so,
that it's all on Case Keenum, but I would tell you this. When you are playing the position, you have to hold everybody accountable. You have to look like there's leadership coming from that position. And our two captains on offense and defense have been horrible. Case has been bad, and Todd Davis has been bad. I mean, historically bad for Todd Davis. I don't even know who this guy is. I don't know. How does that guy become captain?
That's a great question.
I have no idea what's going on.
Universe, how he becomes captain over like Derek Wolfe or Chris Harris.
I'm watching him tackling Todd Gurley, and I'm like, what are you doing? You're the Mike linebacker. When that guy steps forward, you go and meet him. And there should not be another three yards after contact from a head-on collision. What is going on here?
Adam Schefter is our ESPN NFL insider, presented by ROX Heating and Air. That's R-O-X, ROX Heating and Air. Adam, how warm is the hot seat that Vance Joseph sits on right now?
Well, look, I mean, if we just look at this simply, right, last year I think they considered making a change at that point in time, and they decided not to make it. So coming into this year, you knew, just like most cities, you have to win to keep your job. That's sort of the facts of the matter. Now, what's the record? 2-4 right now, right? They're 2-4?
Yes.
And it's been a ugly 2-4 as of recently. They became the first team in NFL history to allow a team to rush for over 200 yards in back-to-back weeks, which I think that's discouraging, because if you see it one week, you should think that it should be corrected the next week, and it wasn't. Now, I know they're playing Todd Gurley in cold and tough conditions, but still.
Well, they were suffering so bad in their secondary, Adam, they literally had a choice to make. That's how they felt. That's what Vance Joseph said earlier today. You know, because it was like, let Gurley have the day of his life, or let Jared Goff go for 350 yards and put 40 points on the board.
Let me just get back to Alfred's question, though. You know, to get back to how warm the seat is right now, okay? I don't think they want to make a change in season. I don't know what the upside to making a change in season is.
Agreed. I agree.
Like, let's say today they wanted to fire Vance Joseph. I'm just, you know, let's just say today they're not going to replace him with one of the defensive coaches.
Right.
Okay.
Gary Kubiak's there.
Okay, well, I don't know, you know, what his situation is, whether he'd want to do that, what his health is. I don't know. I'd have to ask around. The offense, you're not going to take Bill Musgrave away from there to run the team when he's going to run the offense.
Correct.
And can the special teams guy, can he do it?
Tom McMahon, don't know. He's never done it before, but that is, by the way, when Coops had his health issues, Adam, a couple years ago, that's what they did. They used Joe DeCamillis to, you know, coach the team.
Well, again, so there's really no offensive candidates. There's a lack of offensive candidates. Do they feel qualified as a special teams coach? And if you make the change with Vance now, what are you gaining? What are you gaining? Look, I think that they've shown that they're not going to be able to compete for a playoff spot through six games. Now, you know, it's still young, and we'll give them the benefit of the doubt here and a little bit of time, and maybe they surprise people on Thursday night in a short week at Arizona, and maybe they come home and beat Kansas City and go into the bye 4-4. But if they don't, and if they lose a fifth game somewhere this early, I think we all could agree that the playoff chances are pretty bleak. And at that point, you're better off just letting Vance coach it out. See what he can do for the rest of the season. And if you don't like it, after Thanksgiving, we'll get to December, go make a change then for a couple of weeks.
Right. I agree with you totally in theory. That's what I think, too. 9,000 official no-shows, probably 12 to 15 really no-shows there.
On a really cold, snowy day in Denver.
Hold on. Now you've hit on something.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Now you've hit on something. Because the one thing that I've noticed with this team over time is that when the fans start to not show up, when they start to not come to the games, and Alfred, I don't care that it was cold yesterday. It's been cold in Denver plenty before.
That's true. Fans
have shown up.
That's right.
Okay? If the team is worth showing up for, then they'll show up. Those are great fans. Okay? So we could blame it on the weather. But let's see if and when they play Kansas City, the weather's nice, and they lose on Thursday night, if the fans show up and what the fan reaction will be. I'm just saying, the point that I wanted to make there was, I have always seen that this team has paid attention to the no-shows. and there were at least 9,000 no-shows. And in talking to various people at the game yesterday, they thought there were more than that.
And
I spoke to somebody from the Rams this afternoon, and they said the stadium felt kind of empty.
Right. Because it was.
That's not a good sign.
Adam, I want to ask you this because you've certainly been around here long enough to know what the quarterback position means to this franchise. I mean, this franchise is different than most franchises in the NFL because we've had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks play for this organization in the last 20 years. So I want to ask you this. If Case Keenum, who continues to underperform, but the numbers look good at the end of the day when you sit back and you look at them when they go hurry up but they certainly the third down numbers are down, the red zone numbers are down. If this continues to happen and we see a drop in attendance, it's not the head coach who needs to be fired. It's the quarterback who they were booing yesterday.
Well, look, I like Case Keenum.
Who doesn't like him? Everybody likes him. Listen,
but no matter how the rest of the season plays out, I think that they need to be looking for a quarterback. And I think of what D-Mac said, I think it was a week or two ago when I misheard. One of you wanted a cornerback in the draft, and one of you wanted
quarterback. Quarterback.
I'm of the mind that you don't bypass a quarterback. And maybe they bypassed a quarterback last year because they spent the one on trading up to go get Paxton Lynch, and they didn't want to do that again.
Right, they did.
Maybe that had something to do with it. It's hard to go back and go to that well again. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't know if they really loved any of those quarterbacks that much. Maybe if Baker would have been there, maybe, I don't know. Maybe that would have interested them. But here's the deal. Whether you like Case Keenum or not, whatever you think of him, I think that this team has got to find a quarterback for the future, a quarterback to build around, somebody that they really like. And so I saw that the Broncos had a contingent of officials at the Oregon game last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not in the college football mode yet, but that Herbert guy, what's his for Justin Herbert? Is that his name?
I believe it's A. Bear. No, it's Herbert. But,
it's Herbert.
Yes.
Justin Herbert.
Yes.
Let's say this. I think a lot of things would be fixed pretty quickly and a lot of moods would change and some outlooks would be altered if that guy were to wind up in Denver.
No doubt about it. All right, Adam.
Last thing I want to ask you.
Yes.
Does Derek Carr play for the Raiders next year? They have it out at the end of this year. Do you think Derek Carr is going to be the quarterback for the Raiders next year?
It's a great question, Alfred. And what I would say to that is that who are they getting that's better than that quarterback right now?
Maybe they want Herbert.
Justin Herbert. They're going to be in a race with the Broncos for Justin Herbert.
Let me tell you something. If they had the number one pick in the draft, I don't think he would be back. Like, why would you invest in him at that point?
No, why would you? You don't need to. It'd be silly.
So, okay. That Raiders team, if it's any solace to Colorado, is shockingly bad. Denver's got its own problems, but in a Schadenfreude type of way, if it makes everybody feel, man, the Raiders are miserable.
No, it does. Here's why it doesn't. Because we recognize there's a 2-year window for Gruden to blow the team up, and that's clearly what they're trying to do. And there's no negative consequence to it because they'll move into Las Vegas and the place will be jammed and packed and excited, and you'll have 2 years where John Gruden's not nervous about losing his job, nor should he be. It's a very unique circumstance. Very, very unique. We don't have that here. It's not the same here, in my opinion. So.
No, it's a different set of factors, but I'm just telling you that Raiders team is worse than the Broncos right now.
Well, we know that, Adam.
We beat them.
We barely beat them. We were down 10 in the fourth quarter, and we came back and beat them, but it took that. I don't think that makes us feel any better, Adam, but I appreciate it, though. Fine.
Yeah, I'm trying what I can, D-Mac.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it, Adam. Is there anything else we should be aware of? Is there anything on the radar? We have severe Kansas City Patrick Mahomes envy right now here in Denver.
You ain't kidding.
Yeah, well, you know what? You know what the discouraging part about that is? Not that he's that good, or not that he's doing it this year, not that their record is 5-1. It's that Patrick Mahomes is 21, so you're looking at going.
No, we thought about
you breaking hearts in Denver right now, man. You're breaking hearts in Denver right now.
All right. By the way, I thought I read something
21.
Too. Maybe you know this. I think the Broncos are one of only four teams that don't have a homegrown quarterback right now. I mean, that's what the scenario really is in the NFL. That's what happens. So, well, there's that. That doesn't help.
What does that mean? It means that you went out and drafted a quarterback. Well, they drafted Chad Kelly. He's a homegrown quarterback. No.
There you go, Adam. There you go. Adam is throwing his hat in the ring for CK6. I love it, Adam.
No. That's not what I was saying.
that's clearly what we heard right there. All right, Adam. We'll talk to you later.
Take care, buddy.
I'm glad we could laugh a little bit.
All right. Adam Schefter. Endorsing Chad Kelly starts on Thursday right there. It's exclusive. Big Three's next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 120-0716.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank. It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three, presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
Alfred, when John Elway says, you know, this is the biggest game and we should all be playing desperate, like our jobs are on the line, that sort of thing, you think he means it? Meaning, do you think Thursday will define whether or not Vance Joseph keeps his job?
I don't know if it does, but I will say this. This is my take. We weren't the most talented team this past weekend. If you're counting that win or the win or the loss against the Kansas City Chiefs, I think then maybe you have misjudged the talent on this team. And a little side note. The Denver Broncos can be better, but it's going to take the captains playing at captain level and doing the things that captains do by making the plays in the moment that's needed rather than just being one of the guys. We don't need one of the guys. We need leaders on this team. So it's time for the captains to step it up.
Bongos.
Three! D-Mac is starting to feel like Joe Woods gets a pass for stopping the Rams from scoring 40 points.
He gets a pass from me.
Gets a point. Does not get a pass from me.
He did his job. As far as I'm concerned.
I'm telling you, structurally, there are things that are wrong with this defense.
I'm not saying it can't get better, but you kept it to 23 points.
You kept it to 23, which is the most important thing in football. But Von Miller said it once. He said it twice. It's embarrassing to see teams run for 200 yards against you and to have it happen for the first time in the history of the NFL. You don't want to be part of that story. So we've got to fix some things. We've got to change the way that we're looking at playing run defense. And if that means that our coverages that were great for holding the Rams to only 23 suffers, then you got to have some give and take. Oof. That's what the great defensive coordinators in this business do. Take care of one thing and make them one-dimensional. We're not making teams one-dimensional right now.
Oh, well, that's true, because we just don't have the depth and talent. We're doing what we're doing because we have to. Because Brendan Langley was a wasted pick. Because you got rid of Aqib Talib. Because Bradley Roby went on was missing in action the other day. Because Tremaine Brock, we didn't even know who he was.
And I got to tell you, Tremaine Brock on a run, you know what?
Yeah. No, there's weak points. So you got to do something that doesn't look clean because you don't have the talent.
I'm seeing wide receivers block linebackers. And I'm thinking to myself, why is this happening?
All right, we'll dig into it deeper. Bongos.
Three!
Al, Emmanuel Sanders taunting penalty, what'd you think?
I thought it was a dumbass penalty. And I knew he was going to get a penalty on that one no matter what. And you know what? You can't point to a guy after making a great play. That's not part of this league. It's never been part of this league to show up somebody like that in their faith. Never. Not on a sack. Not on a touchdown run. Never is it okay. And it's always going to be called.
Always.
To say always, 100% of the time, when you point at somebody after you make a great play, it's going to be called taunting. It's the definition of taunting.
Right. I had somebody who knows a lot about football tell me this morning, when they show highlights of what a taunting call is, that's the video they'll show. I mean, that's how bad it was. Also, I should point out, there are people in the media, which is amazing, that are defending Emmanuel Sanders today.
Oh, that is crap. That's crap. Whoever is defending him on that, you need to step off, because that is taunting. That is 100% taunting.
Right. The problem is...
The only problem was he thought it was a touchdown, and it wasn't.
Right. So
it wouldn't have hurt as much if it was... a touchdown and on the kickoff.
Right. It would only cost us,
possibly
5-10 yards.
Yeah, maybe.
Right. The problem if you allow taunting, people say, oh, it shouldn't be taunting. The problem if you allow taunting, if that was allowed to happen, what happens to one of Emmanuel Sanders' teammates, a couple plays later? What happens when there's just retribution all over the field? What happens then? Then somebody gets their knees blown out. Then somebody gets hurt when they don't have to be hurt. When you do something as selfish as what Emmanuel Sanders does, you put the rest of your teammates in jeopardy if that doesn't get called. That is why taunting exists, because ultimately it helps police the game and prevents horrible injuries for retribution. If you don't get that, then you just don't understand not only football, but you don't understand sports. And Emmanuel didn't get it.
Three!
Did not get it. And,
doesn't
that
get
was
it.
A, that was a, that was a, that was a me moment.
And despite his massive amount of talent, and he has massive talent.
Gotta stand up and be accountable, man.
He has been a self-proclaimed Hollywood diva, and despite his great charitable donations and activities and his amazing effort on the field, this is also who this guy is. And this isn't me having an agenda. We've been talking about it for years now. From the moment that he came on with me and you and threw Ben Roethlisberger under the bus in his first week here with the Broncos till that moment on Sunday. We've seen it over and over again.
So what was it created for? Mercy, right?
He's the guy who believes he can drive in the emergency lane because it's an emergency that he's late. That is who he is. This is the Drive on the Fan.
I want to rock!
The Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Al and D-Mac.
Thursday.
Sorry. There's only one thing I can say to you. I want to rock.
Yeah, we'll be there in Arizona. Well, I'll be there. Are you thinking about ditching the Arizona trip?
I'm going to be there.
We'll be there. We'll be there live and in person. It's time to follow these guys, because what's going to happen here? By the way, according to Mike Kliss, the John Elway, Matt Russell trip to Oregon was planned weeks ago. Like months ago. Like, they're just gonna... You don't believe that? I'm not a real boy. I am a real boy. What is it? I'm not a puppet. I'm not a puppet.
I'm a real boy.
I don't know. Clissy said that it was scheduled weeks ago. It's an exciting game. See you, Al. Oh, my Lord.
Man, that was ugly.
Oh my God. You gotta move the ball.
My man Montez didn't have a good day.
Oh my God. Who did have a good day? It was ugly.
Shanon had a nice run. But yeah, he got hurt. Yeah.
I mean, he is a talent, but if you're gonna give him the ball that much, it's gonna happen. He's gonna get hurt. I mean, you gotta space it out a little bit. Talk about a dude who should never play on special teams. Oh my God.
Oh,
Shanon LaViscus. The guy's unbelievable. Can't be unbelievable if you're hurt, though.
I'm a little disappointed that we didn't stand up to that challenge. Everything that was online there was perfect for us because we've never beaten that team. So when you have the kind of team that you have, you take that show on the road, and you know, it just didn't look, it just looked like they had us scouted, and that's the first time we looked like that.
It's a bummer because you're gonna need a little help now in the Pac-12 South. So
I mean, we got all the help that we need. We got Washington this weekend.
Well, they're in the north. You're gonna need some. People need to beat USC. You need some help.
I mean, USC's got two losses already
in the South. No.
Yeah, they do. They have two losses.
Who'd they lose to?
I don't know, but they have two. I mean, they came in that game. They were.
They didn't have two losses in the Pac-12 South.
It doesn't matter. They had two losses.
It does matter. That's how they pick out who plays in the Pac-12 championship.
I don't know, but.
Well, that is how they do it.
So you, it matters about conference, not overall record?
Yeah, to play in the Pac-12 championship.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how it works.
I would think that record would trump everything.
Nope. Conference record.
They really?
Take the number
conference
one
record.
Pac-12 North, Pac-12 South. That's it. That's how they do it.
Okay.
They have five games.
So it doesn't matter if you are 10-1, or 11-1.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
And
no,
the other
it doesn't.
Is
that's
10-2.
That's right. That's happened before. It's quirky. There's been a higher ranked team that didn't get to play in the Pac-12 championship because their loss was in conference, and it did hurt. I forget who it was, but it was like Washington, Stanford, sort of. I don't know what it was.
Right now, USC is 4-2 overall, and we're 5-1. And as it stands, if this means anything on the Pac-12 website, they are top of the Pac-12 South.
Yeah, because they're just undefeated in the Pac-12 South. So you need Arizona State to be a
3-1 in conference.
Okay.
2-1. Okay.
That's the way it goes.
That is a quirky little rule.
It's a quirky little rule. That's how they do in the Pac-12 because there's so many teams. North,
there's
south.
Only 12 teams.
Gotcha. That's just how they do it. I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm not making it up.
My man Money Mike was calling me all night Saturday. I'm like, I'm not going to nobody's house to watch this game because
it was depressing as hell.
No, I'm not. I'm like, I don't share those moments. I don't share those moments with everybody. Those are my moments. I get to yell at the TV and make sure I got enough pillows so I don't break my TV.
Let's take a couple calls. Jordan, you're on the fan. Hi, Jordan.
What's up, Jordan?
Hey, how's it going?
Super.
Awesome. So I'm calling in reference to that Sanders call. And I'm going to take the defense of the guy. You know, it kind of looked like to me that it was retaliation against the face mask you saw.
Dude, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, Jordan.
Yeah,
there's no
justification. These are not compounded penalties that add up over time. This one happened now. This is the one we see. This is the one we're calling.
Yeah. I got it. He's your guy. He's your guy. Everybody, he's your guy. Can't do anything wrong.
Hang up?
Yeah. That's how he goes. RC, you're on the fan. Hi, RC.
Hey, gentlemen.
Hey.
Hey, look, I want to start with some words of flattery for you here. I was listening to sports radio in Illinois, man. They got nothing on you guys.
No doubt.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate you.
Fantastic, man. The combo of the ex-athletes, Big Al, I remember watching you as a kid. Awesome, man. But anyways, I work in an office here, right? And we always got 104.3 The Fan on.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Thank you.
How's those TPS reports going? You got the TPS reports?
Oh, man, I'm getting them, man. I spend most of my day looking for my stapler, but it's all good, man. It's all good. Anyways, you know, conversation, obviously, is on Vance Joseph. I get it. I understand criticisms, right? But when I watch the Broncos, my takeaway is that the guys we paid to come in and be game changers at positions that have limited impact, and I, you know, specifically Von Miller, Demaryius Thomas, right? Two phenomenal players, all the respect in the world for them. But when I watch, I don't see Von Miller making plays until the end of the game. And when you pay a guy that kind of contract, we need sustained contribution. You've got to change the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just find myself in a very difficult situation as a lifelong fan and watching what Von did in that Super Bowl. I love DT. I was at the playoff game against Pittsburgh when Tebow threw that pass with strangers were hugging, man. It was unbelievable. Right? So he's a ring of famer, man. He's a
right.
ring of famer. I'll always rock his jersey. But I'm looking at this team, and it's hard for me to hold Vance Joseph accountable when the guys you paid to be adults to come in and lead that locker room, and I see Von as a great teammate, I don't see him as a Peyton Manning leader who sets the tone, sets the cadence, gives you the schedule.
So I just look at these beloved Broncos and I think they got to go, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, RC. Appreciate it. Thank you.
And one of the things that I said coming into this season, now it was very unpopular when I said it, was that, well, the Broncos have a natural out for Demaryius Thomas because they can just get rid of him and have minimal pain on the salary cap, and this is the right time to do it. Now, D-Mac, I know it must have been unpopular there then, but DT does not profile like a top 10 receiver in the NFL.
No, he's not that anymore. However, he had a good game yesterday. He only had 4 targets, caught 3 of his 4 targets. He averaged 19 yards a catch. He had a touchdown and a long reception for 45 yards. Yeah. In every imaginable way to look at DT yesterday, he had a strong game. Von Miller had one of his best games of the year for 2 reasons. Not only was he great individually with 5 tackles, a sack and a half, a tackle for a loss, 2 quarterback hits, but he also created opportunity for Bradley Chubb, who had a spectacular game. So the 2 of them together... They were doing a little modified 4-3 sort of action there yesterday.
Right. Okay. Bradley Chubb was in the rush more yesterday.
Yep.
And Vaughn was in coverage a little more yesterday.
Yep. It was
Which looked great.
It looked great. And what we had to give up were rushing lanes. Now, if you had some Kerr, right now, man.
I don't know what's going on out D line right now.
Right,
like the
not,
only one that's
great.
Really playing his ass off is the big fella Wolf, man. I mean, I don't know what's going on.
But you created a defense.
Petco has been solid. He's been really Petco's been solid. When you look at Wolf has been solid. I mean, above average. I mean, more than solid. He's been good. Petco has been good, but they need the other guy, whoever the other guy is, and for the most part, it's been Kerr. Man, he's got to step his game up.
Well, I mean they're lost there because it's Kerr or Shell. It should have been DeMarcus Walker.
Should have been
your second round pick.
Inactive yesterday. Inactive.
6 games in a row. Inactive.
Can't play.
So you
can't
are
play dead in the Western.
You are.
So let me make sure I get this right now. Okay. So. In his draft class, okay,
yeah,
the first round draft pick was Bowles.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
He was a second round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
Third round draft pick is on practice squad.
Langley.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Right. That's Vance Joseph's fault? That's
Are you kidding
Joe
me?
Wood's fault?
Yeah. 2 players that were drafted in the top 100 of the NFL,
yeah,
that can't hit the, that can't get on the field.
Unbelievable, right? That's the coach's fault? They're going to be fired? Look in the mirror. Football at 4 is next.